This weekend, as so many Americans pile into cars to enjoy the July 4th holiday, there's a new documentary out about a special car in theaters. Who Killed the Electric Car? Takes a look at one automaker's ill-fated efforts to create an alternative vehicle. General Motors began leasing its electric car, the EV1, in 1996, but 7 years later, the cars were off the road. Most have been demolished. Iris Mann reports.
Filmmaker Chris Payne remembers that on a whim, he started leasing an EV1 from General Motors in 1997 with the intention of using it merely as a second car.
And pretty much within a month, it was the only car I drove. So 5 years later, I guess, when they began to pull the cars off the road, I kept thinking that there might be some kind of expose about why the cars were being removed after everybody was having such a great experience with them. And nobody was doing it. So that's about the time I decided to make a film.
Payne says his car was fast, easy to charge, and produced no emissions. While making the film, he found that it wasn't just conservationists who championed the car.
We talked to Reagan people, and neoconservatives really believe that these kinds of issues are not just about saving the planet, which is really important, but about no foreign oil imported. This is a big national security issue. So the issues cross over, and we tried to reflect that in the people that we talked to.
Among those were some well-known fans of the EV1. Tom Hanks praised it to David Letterman.
Believe it or not, that sucker goes. That
really?
Thing will take you down the PCH so fast you could get a ticket.
By driving an electric car, what are you sparing us from?
I'm saving America, Dave. That's what I'm doing. I am saving America.
The second half of the movie is an attempt to identify the forces responsible for the demise of the EV1. The film posits a list of suspects, and a montage points fingers in all directions.
What killed the electric vehicle, very simply, I think, is lack of corporate wisdom.
In my opinion, it's Big Oil that killed the electric car.
The California Air Resources Board killed the electric car under huge pressure from the auto companies.
They were an accessory to the murder, but the murder was committed by the General Motors Company.
The film accuses GM of not supporting the EV1 by not making enough of them, by not vigorously marketing them, and by not selling them. Because it was considered experimental technology, GM would only lease the vehicle. The company is also charged with not wanting the car to succeed in the first place. But GM spokesman Dave Barthmas vehemently denies those accusations.
One thing to make clear, everybody at General Motors thought that the EV1 was a home run in terms of what it could do. It was a tremendous technological achievement. That is one thing that we at GM all agree on. We all agree on, too, that it was a vehicle that would only appeal to a small number of people and that we simply could not afford to lose any more money on the program. We spent well over $1 billion.
Despite that investment, some critics question GM's commitment to the car. In the film, Chelsea Sexton, a former EV1 sales specialist, points out that after the company suspended production of the car, the sales team took it upon itself to compile a waiting list of potential customers.
So we started this waiting list in order to prove demand to GM, but no matter how many people we got on that list, it was never considered enough demand. Everything was anecdotal to GM.
GM spokesman Dave Barthmas says that when the company pressed people on the waiting list, only a fraction would make a commitment. The film also questions the ad campaign. S. David Freeman was an energy advisor to former President Jimmy Carter.
You know, we never saw a TV ad with an electric car scampering up the side of a hill with a good-looking man or woman draped around it. That's the way they sell cars.
Instead, GM came up with this ad.
How does it go without gas and air? How does it go without sparks and explosions? How does it go without gears or transmissions? How does it go, you will ask yourself.
GM seriously began developing the electric car after California passed a law in 1990 mandating that a certain percentage of cars sold in the state would be zero-emission vehicles. Despite the $1 billion it spent on its electric car program, GM filed a lawsuit with several other companies in 2002 challenging the mandate. The following year, the California Air Resources Board relaxed the rules. When the leases on the EV1s ran out, GM recalled the cars. David Kirsch, an assistant professor at the University of Maryland, is a business and technology historian who wrote a book about the electric vehicle. He says that with its handling of the EV1, GM managed to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory.
GM treated the recall decision as just another business decision, as if it was just some trouble with some Chevy that needed to be recalled, without realizing that they had actually tapped into a new market, a new kind of person, someone who had abandoned General Motors cars decades ago and had long switched to European and Japanese brands.
But GM spokesman Dave Barthmas says that there were fewer than 1,000 customers who leased the EV1, and the company needed far more to build a business. In fact, Who Killed the Electric Car names as one of its suspects consumers themselves. Director Chris Payne.
We're all in this together, and we all have to get out of this mess together as well. The movie kind of takes a Murder on the Orient Express point of view about who's really the one person to blame. We're all in the train cabin, you know, putting the knife in the body.
Payne's movie, Who Killed the Electric Car, opened this week in Los Angeles and New York and begins screening in theaters around the country next week. For NPR News, I'm Iris Mann.
You can see a funeral for an electric car and find out what it's like to drive one on our website, npr.org.